Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Welcome, welcome, welcome again, ladies and gentlemen. So glad you are here in the number one family talk program in all of the universe. I am here, Jack Hatfield, here with you today on another big news day where we're going to go through the myths, the fun facts, and the agendas that we see before us in the role against the family, the father, the mother, the parents, and, of course, degenerative diseases. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I appreciate you being here. And you guys, let me tell you what you're doing. Let me just tell you what you are accomplishing as you go around and tell people about it. You're actually doing what I'm asking each and every one of you to do, and that's send an email to 162,000 people apiece. And tell them that this is the greatest show in the world and they need to hear it, and they are starting to hear it. Real quick, before we start class, we forgot our Pledge of Allegiance last week. Let's do it this week.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, now we can get started. Class is in session, and we have so much to talk about. We've got some people in New York losing some rights to do stuff. We've got some Frankenfood trying to get its way up there, people. That is bad news. We've got some links between some couple diseases, and it doesn't surprise you at all. We've got a student doing some weird stuff that I own one myself, and it caused him a lot of problems. We have more news on the salmonella eggs. More news on the salmonella eggs. We've got some weird science. Weird science. We're going to help you overcome any bad eating habits here today. We're going to give you seven foods I would go try at least one bite of. And then, of course, after you try that one bite of these seven foods, we're going to help you, give you seven easy steps to lose weight. A lot of people are worried about the upcoming holiday since fall begins today. Now, what does fall mean to us? Well, it means to me we've got some pretty changing leaves, and nature puts on its most gorgeous dresses and shows you how incredible it really is. You've got a crisp, beautiful smell in the air. A lot of animals getting to work, a lot of animals getting ready for the winter, a lot of animals preparing, and you too need to prepare yourself because fall is the autumnal equinox. That means the sun is rising exactly in the east and exactly setting in the west. So that is a perpendicular east-west equinox. And that's exactly what's happening today, and that brings on the start of fall. So happy fall to you. Hope you have a great one. There's a big controversy about some genetic testing. And then we're going to talk about 12 medical myths even your doctor might believe. And that is terrible. We're going to talk about those. So we've got a lot in store for you. And, oh, yeah, that whole cell phone thing where you're worried about it, like, since it has low microwave pulses at a very low level, and that can't possibly hurt you at all. Well, we've got a new study on that as well. So lots and lots of stuff to get for. Let's get to it, people. Thank you for listening to Fix the Family, Fix America Radio, right here, right now. Thank you so much for being here again. I am humbled again at the growth of this show. Just have to talk about it. We're doing disease and diet workshops all around the place now, all over the Southeast at the moment, soon to be everywhere else. We're doing all kinds of things to get out and outreach and see you and meet you, and I'm just loving every second of it. And I can't tell you how happy I am to meet you, get your questions, help you through some of your issues, help fathers, help mothers, help parents, and then help anyone with any kind of degenerative diseases. We are very, very humbled to be here and help you, and I just can't say it enough that the growth of this radio show and the growth of our workshops and the growth of everything we're trying to do, it's fantastic. Again, thank you very much. So let's get started. What's going on? So remember, we talked about eggs. A while back, we talked about those 600 million or so eggs and drop in the bucket, of course, in the 40 gillion bajillion eggs that are eaten every day. But remember, we exposed how that farmer, the owner of those eggs, he owned from manure to feed all the way. He owned the whole thing. So that process was the scary portion, right? And they found manure and, manure juice laying around the egg farms. Sorry to get so graphic this early in the show, but we love to just bring it up. Here it is. It's a fact. So anyway, the owners of those Iowa farms that were blamed in that outbreak, that caused 1,600 people to get sick and recalled almost 600 million eggs, has now... they're going to apologize. They're going to come up and they're going to say they're very, very sorry. Their statement is, while we always believed we were doing the right thing, it's now very clear we must do more. So that is good that we have exposed the manure juice and the CEOs of the company have seen it, and hopefully they would do something about it as fast as they possibly can. So big old apology there. We're sorry for getting you 1,600 people sick. We're real sorry about all this news about us, and we're real sorry that we did everything. So now the best thing I think that they should do is get a mop and start cleaning up that stuff is what I'm saying. So with a mop in hand and apology in tow, go on about your business and cleaning up your place. And go free range. Let your chickens loose. That's another thing you could do. That would be fun, huh? real quick, we are having a whooping cough epidemic. Not trying to make light of this incident, because there's the ninth baby in California now has passed away from the whooping cough. So we really need to get vigilant on that. And let me throw something else out at you about the whooping cough. We have been, it's also called pertussis. We have been vaccinating against whooping cough for almost 60 years. So how is it that we sometimes have outbreaks of whooping cough or pertussis in California, Oregon, Montana, et cetera? They're trying to figure out, the current media story is, we're trying to figure out if the vaccine's role is unclear. Now, the peaks in the cases of this disease cycle every 2 to 5 years, it says. California had a peak in 2005 with 3,182 cases, and now the state is now up to 4,017, which is more than any year since 1995. And again, vaccinating since 1960 kind of possibly may mean that pertussis and the virus could be caused by either the vaccine or immune to the vaccine. We do not know. We're going to get to the bottom of that story, but any child that's having issues with whooping cough, we give them our prayers, and we definitely don't want any other to pass away. The 9th baby in California dying from whooping cough, let's get that under control as fast as we can. And right here on Fixed Family, if you are a Disease and the Diet subscriber, as soon as we can dig into it, we've got people calling, making phone calls, seeing what's going on. As soon as we dig into it, you will know. You will be the first to know. And the rest of you, please listen to this show. We'll keep you up to date on that as much as possible. So don't like that. Lots of stuff there. Really do something about that. So because we've been vaccinating for 50 years and we're still having some problems. All right, let's say let's say fall, where we all know all the schools come back in session, and then suddenly there's an outbreak among a bunch of kids, right? Lots of kids get sniffles, the snots, the runs, the everything as they go back to school and everybody starts getting together again. And and you might bring that home to your parents, and your parents might be getting sick. And also in colleges, when college session comes back into session, the flu is going around. And as any teenager or college student would tell you, popularity is awesome. However, there's a downside now we're finding to the popularity, because you get the flu first. So, you're the most popular kid, and guess what the most popular kid gets? Gets hugs, kisses, loves, handshakes, all from lots and lots of friends and people, and they pass on the flu virus to you first. So when the flu is going around, people at the center of these social networks, those that are named as a friend by lots and lots and lots of other people, they come down with flu and illnesses and bugs and stomach viruses about 2 weeks earlier than any other randomly selected group of people. So you're popular. You've got a downside. So this makes all you sit at home, hate the world. This is a pro for you sit at home, hate the world types. You're not going to get sick as fast. So that's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Please understand that. There's a little bit of sarcasm there. Get out. As we've said before, even more socialites and getting more social with people, not socialism, getting more social with people has been known to absolutely put cancer in remission. So, yeah, we're just making fun of this article saying popular people get flu first. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, just because you're more around more people, you know, you get the flu. Another real good thing that you could do is listen to this show, do some of the things we're talking about, and you will stay healthier than you ever have been before, and even your popularity of helping others be healthy will keep you well. So not a bad little thing there, not a bad little thing there. Now, link here between degenerative diseases here. This will be the first year, and I have to say this right now because this is very crucial. In fact, wait a minute before I do it. You know how before we get to big serious news, we got to calm down a little bit. All right, let's relax for a second. Thank you for listening. Fix the family. Fix the family. Sit back. Close your eyes. That's what we're about to talk about. All right, degenerative diseases are on par this year to kill more people than acute illnesses for the first time in the history of the world. Let me repeat that for you. Degenerative diseases, heart disease, cholesterol, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, not cholesterol, I'm sorry. I was in the midst of pulling something else up. Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and other degenerative diseases such as that will kill more people this year than acute illnesses for the first time in human history. Now, acute illnesses are like flu, polio, pneumonia, something that, bam, gets you sick right away. Degenerative diseases killing more people for the first time than any other history. That's amazing. And that's why we do Disease in the Diet Workshop. So there's now a new report. Diabetes affects nearly 8% of Americans, and 17.9 million cases are diagnosed annually. That means there's 17.9 million cases of diabetes adding to the rolls every year. Pretty big population. Then another 1.5 million Americans will be diagnosed with cancer this year, and amid those staggering number of patients affected by these conditions, researchers are studying the possible overlaps between diabetes and cancer. Let's look at this, shall we? What they're saying is both the American Diabetes Association and the American Cancer Society experts put a report out to publish, to examine the links between diabetes and cancer. Now, experts were tasked with presenting the evidence to key questions. So here's what the correlations are. People with diabetes are more likely to have an increased risk for certain cancers, including liver, pancreatic, endometrial, colon, rectal, breast, and bladder cancer. Now, let's look at what diabetes is. Diabetes is an inability for your body to regulate its sugar. That means you're consuming too much sugar, or high HFCS is causing a lot of problems. Because, again, you can do this study at your own house, ladies and gentlemen, not the one with diabetes and cancer being correlated, but the one that says, throw some cats in your yard on one side, throw some cats in your yard on the other, or a dog, or a goat, or a chicken. Doesn't matter. Just throw a mammal out there, not a chicken. Feed one of them fructose. Feed a group fructose. And feed the other one not any fructose. You will get the degenerative diseases on the one with the fructose only. But remember, last week, high fructose corn syrup could potentially be eliminated from every single product in the world in one day. We talked about this last week. Remember, high fructose corn syrup, we've been on a war about it, as soon as next week, it could be out of every single product in the world in one day. And you ask yourself, how is that possible? Oh, wait. The actual ingredient will be out of the product because they renamed it. Remember, high fructose corn syrup is attempting to ask the FDA if it can rename high fructose corn syrup to corn sugar. Its new advertising campaign is now corn sugar, cane sugar. No difference. No difference. high fructose corn syrup is no more cane sugar than Frankenstein is a Playboy bunny. That's major. Major, major, major. So, doobie doop 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 dee. What diabetes and cancer correlation that we're coming up with here is that they're trying to find out, or they're seeing a correlation of people with diabetes getting these certain cancers, okay? Now let's look at these certain cancers. I somehow lost my spot here. Hang on. The colorectal, pancreatic, liver, endometrial, rectal, breast, and bladder cancers. Now, everything in there, liver, pancreas, colon, rectal, those four are digestive related. Endometrial, breast, and bladder, well, endometrial and breast are in the reproductive system. Well, breast is also in the endocrine system, and bladder's in the waist. So when sugar is up and running crazy in your body, it starts to go crazy. So again, back to the study, you got your cats in one side, cats on the other, fructose ones get all of these issues. Here's an amazing thing. They said having diabetes lowers the risk of prostate cancer. So they give you this drug. There's a new diabetes drug that they find is giving people prostate cancer. So don't get nervous about that at all. That's no big deal. So I'm thinking. So that's important. Okay, and then they're saying risk factors for both conditions are similar, including age, obesity, diet, and lack of physical activity. So they're saying you don't move, you sit around, you get old, you get fat, and you eat poorly, you get diabetes and you get cancer. So, wow. That would mean that certain lifestyle changes could reduce or lessen or eliminate the effects of diabetes and cancers, because if you stay moving, eat healthy, and maintain weight, you could be able to keep off the hyperinsulinemia, hyperglycemia, and inflammation that fructose and other things cause. So real quick, you need to make sure you get that taken care of, ladies and gentlemen. And if you listen to this show, I know you do, you know where you are and where you need to be, and that's going to help you a lot. That's very, very integral, very, very integral part of eliminating both of those diseases, because there's a tie in there. There's a tie in there. And that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. So listen to this show. Again, you got to email 162,000 of your friends and tell them to start listening to the show. And again, humbly, thank you for doing that. Again, growing exponentially, not just leaps and bounds, exponentially. Not Superman growth, but
like Green Lantern universe, Watchers over the Galaxy's close. I mean, growth. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. All right, awesome. Let's do this. Fix the family, fix America. Oh, yes. Aqua Bounty Technologies has created the world's fastest growing salmon. That's right. I'm not talking about just your normal genetically modified soybeans or corn or canola or the bad things that make engineered oils. No. No, I'm talking about they've made a genetically modified salmon, which grows almost twice to three times as fast as conventional, normal nature-made salmon. I don't. Anyway, the FDA is getting together, and there is a series of hearings for Aqua Bounty Technologies' new Aqua Advantage salmon. Put the little twink. Ting on the trademark there. Aqua Advantage salmon. Ting. I need a ting. I don't have that button, but eventually I will. Let's see. Anyway, they are things are looking good and constructive, but a lot of you listening to this show went there, got all up in it, and said, "What are we doing? What are we doing?" Aqua Bounty Technology simply said, all we did was we introduced desirable traits of one living being into another using recombinant DNA technology, or RDNA technology. They explained at Aqua Bounty Technology that we simply injected fertilized eggs of the common nature-made Atlantic salmon, the imperfect nature-made Atlantic salmon, with a growth gene from the Pacific Chinook salmon. As well, that doesn't sound bad. So we had one salmon and another salmon do some stuff. Not bad, but here's the big thing. As well as genetic material from an eel-like fish called Ocean Pal that would never, ever, ever, ever be able to do any procreation with a salmon in its life, which overrides the salmon's propensity to stop growing in cold weather. So because of that overriding propensity to stop growing in cold weather, the salmon grows twice the size it normally would in half the time. It also effectively renders the vast majority of the fish sterile. That's like saying the vast majority likes to stick their hand in a fire. That's not true. Again, it's not 100% of the sterile, which means if one gets free and it's not sterile, boom. Boom. But Aqua Bounty Technology would like you to know that the effectively rendering the vast majority of the fish sterile, which prevents the altered fish to breed with wild populations of fish and protects the company's intellectual material. Yes. Ooh, okay. Well, that's the Frankenfish for you, but we have breaking news, and by you being on this show, you now know that the FDA said, I don't have enough data on this fish to prove it safe, and the decision will have to be made at a later date. Now, because citizens, farmers, consumer advocates, everyone listening to this show went there, packed the hearing room on Monday, and vehemently opposed this fish's approval. And you have changed the FDA's mind at least temporarily until they can sneak it in. Trust me. The director of Food and Water Watch, an opponent of the GM fish, said the FDA is relying only on Aqua Bounty technology company data and from only a handful of fish. Is that enough to let that thing just roll on in? And they were also listening, listen to this, they were listening to arguments that they should place this salmon, Aqua Bounty's new Aqua Advantage salmon, ding, in a section of the grocery market. There's a reason some of it's called grocery market. Grocery market called genetically modified. If that was the case, 99% of the 166,000 soybean oil containing products in your grocery market would have to move under the same section. Very scary thought, is it not? Anyway, the hearing lasted 8 hours, and Aqua Bounty CEO Ron Stoller said an enormous amount of data was presented, and he says that the FDA committee got confused by everything that was presented. So it's not that they turned us down. They just said they need to go all through it. So this dangerous precedent could eventually allow genetically modified fish in very safe pens and cages where hundreds of thousands of fish escape every year, meaning if that frankenfish escapes, we will have lots of them. Now, if you were a little spoiled brat company and you just got knocked down from all the money you spent, what would stop you from just saying, you know what, I'll make this fish get eaten by everyone anyway and set them free? I'm not an alarmist, people. Come on. Hopefully they won't do that, but that is amazing, amazing stuff. So thanks to you, listeners to this show, listeners to other shows like this, packing that FDA saying, no frankenfish. No frankenfish, no frankenfish, we appreciate it. And they have now not said yes to the frankenfish yet. So yay on that, ladies and gentlemen, no frankenfish. Again, is from our buddy from Fathers with Voices, Eric Leggett, his website, fatherswithvoices.info, I believe. Just search for Fathers with Voices and Eric Leggett. You'll get to him. He helps fathers going through some struggling divorces. But the title of that song, again, is Encourage Yourself, and I want to sit here and encourage you to do something. Take one step forward. No longer be under the auspicious thumb of the boss. You can break free and become your own entrepreneur, and with the help of Soho Office, you can do it faster, quicker, better than you ever thought possible. I'm not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Sandhill.SohoOffice.com. They can do it all right now. They are working on over 15 websites for small businesses that are ready to start up, ready to kick their dream in overdrive, ready to take on the world when this economy says, yo, oh, by the way, this economy ended. The recession ended in July. I don't know if you noticed that, but when it really does end, that is funny. when it really does end, you can be ready by going to sandhill.sohooffice.com, getting your logos, letterhead, business cards, websites, computers, everything you need from one place. I'm not kidding. You can be out there, your own boss, your own person, your own everything, faster, better, stronger, with the help of these folks. Sandhill.sohooffice.com. You better get there. I'm not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. You can't get there any faster. You can't be there any better. You must get some help. Be the entrepreneur. Fight on, people. Cell phone to cancer link is inconclusive, according to a latest study, ladies and gentlemen. These experts were nearly unanimous in saying the results of the study are inconclusive. Because they did a study, $24 million study covering 13 nations that suggests frequent cell phone use may marginally, somewhat, in some cases, increase the chance of developing a rare and deadly form of brain cancer. But after they read that report, they said, inconclusive. Since cancers take years, even decades to develop, longer than cell phones have been in widespread use, even the study's authors say there's no way yet to tell how big the risk is. What? Farmers in Africa even rely on cell phones to check crop reports, to hedge fund traders obsessively checking blackberries at restaurants. We all know cell phones are everywhere. Cell phones send out radio waves. This is crucial for you to understand. Cell phones send out radio waves in a form similar to the one used in microwave ovens, but at very low levels, and right now there is no accepted theory to explain how or if these weak radio waves affect the body, beyond heating it to a very small degree. Now, when you put your popping corn into your microwave, ladies and gentlemen, and you turn it on, what do you expect that microwave to do? Heat it. Oh, okay, heat it. All right. So the cell phone, having the weak microwave oven radiation, they're saying it only moderately heats your body. Moderately heat your body. How about over and 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 over? And think about how many times you put your cell phone to your head. Think about how many times, how many hours a day it's sitting on the side of your waist. I have actually switched my cell phone from my all of my organ side, liver, pancreas, digestive areas, to the other side because I was having pain. Now, I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But if a cell phone proven to somewhat heat the body through its weak radio waves, radiation waves, then shouldn't it be looked at a little harder? I mean, really? The survey took basically asked 13,000 participants, and they found a 40% higher incidence of glioma, brain cancer, among the top 10% of people who use their mobile phone the most. But they had no increased risk for meningioma, which is the common, frequently brain cancer. So, and heavy use. Let me tell you how this this heavy use is measured. 30 minutes of calls or more a day. Think about it. Are you on the phone 30 minutes more a day? Yes, you are. The highest risk for the tumors are also found on the same side of the head as the users held their phone. And they found tumors in the temporal lobe closest to the ear. But don't worry. Other scientists read this report that found 40% more uncommon brain tumors in heavy cell phone users. And they said, inconclusive. Inconclusive. So don't you fret, ladies and gentlemen. No big deal about that. Ignore this. Ignore this message. I love it. I love it. New York. New York. New York. New York. In New York, you're about to give birth and you want a midwife. You don't want to run to the hospital. Guess what? Done. Can't do it. It is now illegal for women to give birth at home in New York City. What? Yeah, are you saying choices are being removed from the health care? Yeah, that's right. They closed the only hospital that supported midwives in practice. New York state law now requires any midwife performing a home birth be approved to practice by a hospital. Yet the only hospital in New York City was willing to sign to do so is now closed. So there is no midwife happening in New York. The choices for your health care are going down. It's pretty shocking in a city where you can get anything at any hour of the day. You cannot give birth at home with a trained practitioner. Midwives preside over most European births and almost 30% are midwife births in Europe, and they have a very low maternal mortality rate, whereas the United States has the highest maternal mortality rate, 16.7 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. Amnesty International, I'm not touting their wonderfulness at all, but they have called the U.S. childbirth record a human rights crisis. There are 600 women who are going to give birth in the next year who want midwives with them at home, and to take away their rights and choices is so backwards it's embarrassing, according to Manhattan Borough Scott Stringer. New York has now taken away your choices. You must go to the big hospital. You must go to the big doctor. You must go to who we tell you to. Doesn't really seem like that's getting any better, does it? No. No, it doesn't. All right. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello?
Hey, Jack?
Yes.
It is Xander calling in from California. How are you?
I am perfect. Xander, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jack. I'm doing well. I'm highly motivated today to talk to you and... I know the whole cell phone thing.
Yes. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, first of all, here in California, for example, you have to wear a headset if you're driving. So the amount of radiation that you're actually getting seems to be even less. So I don't know that these studies have much of much statistical significance yet. I mean, let's face it, the Surgeon General's determined that being born could lead to death.
That is correct.
You know, so I guess my, I mean, look, there's many things out there I think we need to be aware, but I also think that we need to ratchet down the fear-mongering that seems to be going on about everything causing, you know, cancer and whatnot. Yes, we have to be aware of it, but I don't know that talking on your cell phone is going to lead you to have brain tumors. The average person is not... Okay, go ahead.
No, the average person is not. Go ahead and finish your statement.
It's not... The amount of time that they're actually spending on their phone is probably not that much. The average phone call is probably less than 5 minutes. So you're
right. The study that I just cited, let's go into the facts of that study that I just cited. I hope you were listening earlier, but we'll recount.
Sure.
The study found that 40% more tumors of the non-common tumor were found in heavy cell phone users. In the top 10% of heavy cell phone users. And they define heavy cell phone users as 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
So you can extrapolate from that if someone uses a cell phone 30 minutes a day, they're a heavy user, and they are finding that the uncommon brain tumor is happening 40% more increase in those people that do that. Now, the data from other experts are inconclusive, and back to your point on how we do not do any fear-mongering whatsoever here on this on this program and any other workshops that we do, we tell people to calm way down at every study and every single media thing that comes out, because that's why we're here, and we read and we look deeper and deeper and deeper into it.
Good.
So you're exactly right on one hand. And on the other hand, you have to feel that maybe this 40% of the uncommon brain cancer, there might be something to it. They do know that cell phones heat your body,
sure,
just like a microwave. They know that. Okay, so if that's the case, then there has to be something happening with the radio waves that's coming from the cell phone. We just don't know what that is yet.
Right. And that's fair. I mean, I can tell you, living here in the San Francisco Bay Area, we certainly have some eclectic thoughts and beliefs out here, and one of them was kind of funny. I got into a cab, and the cab driver asked me to turn my cell phone off because the radiation from my phone, which was not facing him, caused him to have headaches.
Well, that's nice of you. That's nice of him. But you can also tell him that as long as it's more than 4 inches, the radio waves don't go further than that. They don't have the power.
I know, but it was, Jack, it was one of those things that, probably it was a lot easier to just do it because I wasn't expecting any phone calls, and it wasn't a long cab ride versus getting into some huge debate with this guy. Whether my cell phone, which was on my right hip and he's to my left, was going to cause him to have any kind of, ill effects. So.
Right. Go ahead.
No, you go, Jack.
One of the things that we're digging into here is the fact that I can cite 10 studies saying cell phones don't cause you cancer, and then I can cite 10 studies that say they do. So the problem is the agenda of each of the studies are where we need to find out. I mean, if someone's trying to say that cell phones don't cause you any problems, it could be that, as I did point out about 4 weeks ago on this show, there was one study that said no cancer risk whatsoever, but that was funded by a cell phone company.
Sure.
So of course you're going to get that. So we have to make sure that we, on one hand, look at who's doing what and what they're trying to say as they do it. So you're exactly right, Sandra. Before we run out of all this time, I am so glad you called in, and tell people a little bit about yourself. How about that?
I can do that, Jack. I am fortunate to be able to work with Jack. And my name is Xander Sprague. I am the author of Making Lemonade, Choosing a Positive Pathway After Loss of Your Sibling, which is a book to help sibling survivors get through that unbelievably and unexpected occurrence of losing your brother or your sister. And, you know, I'm working with Jack to help, you know, fix the family and fix America, help people learn about networking. I'm really good at networking. I met Jack 2 years ago, and here we are. We're still in contact. We're still doing great work. I admire what Jack's going after, and am honored to be able to help him do this important work and fix the family.
Yes, that is correct. We did meet. We met in New York, and it was just one of those greatest things that you fate puts you in two places, or puts two people in one place, and it turns into some of the greatest stuff in the world. I wish you would have told me you were calling in, because we would have made a more longer segment for you.
No, Jack, that was fine. I had a meeting that got canceled, and I knew the show was on, so I just... I dialed in. I was actually just about to send you a text and say, hey, I'm sitting on the phone line, because you didn't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's boy, what
yeah,
are you
doing? Yeah, the switchboard's a little behind sometimes. And
okay.
When I'm ranting and raving, as I was doing, pretty sure I was ranting about Frankenfish or something. I don't know. But I actually stand up, pick up the microphone, and just start going at it. So. Sometimes I don't even look at the switchboard.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. And
but Xander, like Xander's saying, he does networking, and he is our network expert, and we will have him on, hopefully, for an interview on how to network and how to be better at networking on our job day for all the people that and entrepreneurs. Remember, we have a lot of people that are tired of being under the thumb of a boss and breaking out. And when you do break out and you go to sandhill.sooffice.com and get your logo, your letterhead, and your website, then you now need to know how to go out and garner your business. And Xander, tell us how networking could do that.
Well, you know, I mean, networking is not nearly as hard as people think. Really, it's telling people what you're doing and asking for specific help, because I can ask Jack to help me with my book, and he can say, yeah, I'd love to, but he doesn't know what I want. But if I specifically say to Jack, for example, hey, Jack, the next time you're giving a talk in a hospital, can you mention to the hospital that you know of a book that could help some of the patients and some of the families? Jack's like, yeah, I can do that. That's specific. I'm targeting someone, and I'm asking them to do something specific for me. If you're vague, people have great intentions. They want to help their friends. Your family wants to help you. But if you're very specific about what you want them to do, it's much easier for them to do that.
There you go. I mean, that is correct, Xander. Let me give you a little insight, since I haven't spoke to you in a while, on my newest venture that has branched out from my Early Journey Foundation. We are now doing what's called an Evening with Heroes. I now added veterans and cancer victims, along with the prematurity, to my nonprofit organization, Early Journey Foundation. And the logo still remains the same, the one-wing butterfly. Prematurity, you know, you come out with only one wing. Cancer, the wing gets taken away. And then veterans and people, servicemen, could be wounded and or have other issues where the wing is needs to be brought back. So we actually have started an Evening with Heroes dinner where we invite veterans of Iraq, Afghanistan, including older veterans, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and we give them a free dinner and a steak, a nice fellowship, ask them if they need anything. We have outreach persons from the different branches of the service come and see if they are okay and need anything. And if they're not, they're just going to have a great time having a great meal. And just having a good time with other veterans, because a lot of people go and they end up, you know, being a little more solitary than they need to be. And as we've said on this show, you be a little more social and cancer can actually go in remission. So trying to bring that up as well. So that is one of the things that we have started. The next one's October 7th. So that is going to expand from Seven Grill here in South Carolina all the way across the country.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of the other things I've added to the 25 other wonderful things that Fix the Family, Fix America is doing. So we're not stopping here, and I'm so glad you called in. I'm so glad I saw that on the switchboard, and we need to talk more and more and get more things going on, and then we need to also set you up for a full, you know, lengthy interview on the show so we can push that and promote that.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I'll talk to you off the air, and we'll see what we can set up.
That'll work. That will work great. We have about 4 minutes. Would you like to tell everyone real quick how to get in contact with you and or get that book if they are experiencing any sibling issues and or is there anything on the networking that they can do? Just go ahead and tell people a little bit.
Sure, sure. If you on the book, if you go to makinglemonadebook.com, that's the website for the book. When you do go to that website and you buy the book, I sign those books. So that's my special bonus to people. It is also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and many other online book retailers. But I like to offer the, you know, being able to sign it. There's also xandersprague.com. That's Xander with a Z, so Z-A-N-D-E-R. SPRAGUE.com. That's my main website. You can find out more about me, find out how to get a hold of me, and there's a Networking to Success talk that I have that is available on CD if you want it, which I give you 20 instant contacts, networking contacts that you can use today to get going and get people working for you to spread the word about what you're doing.
That's fantastic. And anyone listening, getting ready to do any of their entrepreneur work or ready to just increase their salary and or job position, networking can't help them in that way, and that's what we want to do. I would love to set up a whole job show for fathers and mothers and parents that are sitting there at their house and going, you know what, we need to do something to better this family. And so since we fix the family, which will then in turn fix America, we can help them network, find better jobs, get jobs, and do all that with a more in-depth informational show for everyone. So we need to get that set up with you as soon as you can possibly think you could do it.
Okay, great. Well, I'll talk to you about that, Jack. And thank you so much for taking my call and letting me come on and talk with you and talk to the listeners.
We'll always take your call. Don't you ever fret, man.
All right, great.
All right, Xander, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye now.
See you later. That was an absolute joy. Xander, like he said, we met 2 years ago in New York. He is our networking expert at Fix the Family, Fix America, so you can see him. And, of course, he told you how to get in touch with him at makinglemonadebook.com and xandersprague.com, Z-A-N-D-E-R-S-P-R-A-G-U-E, xandersprague.com. We will have him on our on a job get the economy rolling, let's get started show here on Fix the Family, Fix America. Been working on that, and definitely we'll have different people on for the entire hour. And more news: this show may be going in October to 2 hours, and it may go to the weekend. It may go to 3 hours because we need to get this started. It is one of the fastest growing family talk radio shows in all of the country and planet and world and universe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry I ran out of time. We got a whole bunch of stuff do your work, go home, get your significant other, get your children put in the bed, then get some good night's sleep after a tasty beverage. Have a nice day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.